sitting there thinking, well, maybe it'll get easier as the day goes on, but it's never easy to get out of that seat and find your way up here. And I remember someone telling me once, well, if you ever lose that sense of fear, if it ever becomes just, you know, an easy walk to get up here before God's people, something's gone wrong. It's a great responsibility that we have to be here. And we trust that the Lord will continue to give help as we continue to look at His Word and see how we can better our lives. I was thinking a little bit about forgiveness. And thinking more, not so much, although we will look at it, what we have been forgiven, but the responsibility that we have to forgive one another. As I've been sitting and listening to our brother, and you hear a little comment, we read in James about him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. You start thinking, is there anyone here that really does not know how to do good? Ryan has just reminded us of the importance of putting into practice what we know. One of the things that we as living in El Salvador don't have the privilege of being surrounded by men and women who have known the Scriptures for years. This isn't a missionary report, but you know, the work in El Salvador started in 69. Nobody there has been saved more than 40 years. And quite often, we don't appreciate the value of men and women who know the Scriptures. Men and women who can teach us. But yet, there's a responsibility that comes closer to home. And it's, okay, now what am I going to do with what I've been taught? And many times I've heard different ones say that if we would put into practice just a quarter of what we know, our assemblies wouldn't be what they are today. We wouldn't be talking about assemblies that are disappearing, and that's not only in North America and around, that's everywhere. It's happening. But why? Because we are not putting into practice the little things that we know. And we're going to read a little bit here, and thinking of forgiveness. I was reading, and we'll go there shortly, but in Matthew 18, 15 through 20, and someone had mentioned that, or had said that there is the pattern to forgive your brother. Well, that's where we go wrong, if we think that's the pattern to forgive your brother. We'll read Ephesians 4, before we will eventually go to Matthew 18, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time. But Ephesians chapter 4, and one of the things that we encounter in El Salvador, and it's probably not very different here or anywhere else, is people that just have a hard time forgiving. People who, because of the craziest things, they get mad and they're gone. And, you know, as I was talking to Brian and Joni, it's been several years since we were part of the Arlington Assembly, and you start saying, well, what about so-and-so? Oh, they're gone. Well, there's someone said that their kids were rowdy and this and that, and they just packed up and left. Those little crazy things. No appreciation for what we've been hearing of the house of God. And we let little things, and yet, when it comes to forgiving one another, which we all need to, Ephesians 4 and 32, Ephesians 4 and 32, here's the pattern. We don't need to go to Matthew 18 to see the pattern. Ephesians 4, 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's the pattern. As Christ has forgiven us, forgive. There's no condition involved in our responsibility to forgive one another. God, in His matchless grace, forgave us before we were ever born. And we are so thankful that God sent His Son, the Savior of the world, to die at Calvary so that we might be forgiven. He didn't wait for us to come to Him. Although we didn't come into the good of it, as we'll see later on, until we repented and realized what God had done for us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've already been reminded, there is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. Where would we be if God waited for us to come to Him? He sent His Son to seek and to save that which was lost. And we are commanded, verse 1 of chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So the commandment, it's not a suggestion, the commandment is that just as Christ, or just as God, has forgiven us unconditionally, when my brother, as we will read in Matthew 15, trespasses or sins against me, my responsibility before God, before him or her, is to forgive. Unconditionally. Colossians 3 and 13, no doubt, I'll just mention it. No doubt we'll get to it in our Bible study. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, it's a commandment. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. Things that we know. These verses aren't new to any one of us. Oh, how difficult it is. Oh, how difficult it is to humble ourselves and forgive somebody that has done something towards us. Forgiveness comes to us by the way of the cross, as already mentioned. It's forgiveness without limit. It doesn't depend on what we have done. It's all what God has done. Luke 23:34, one of the sayings of our Lord from the cross. As he looked out to that multitude of those men, that the same ones that had placed the crown of thorns upon his head, the same ones that had whipped his back till it was like an open field, the same multitude that had cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And what's the words we hear? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Be ye followers of your Father. Our responsibility to forgive one another. So we come to Matthew 18. We'll read there Matthew 18. Thinking of the word forgiveness, and in Spanish it kind of gives the same idea, like to chop up words. But forgive. You think of those last little phrase. Give. Spanish? Perdón. I don't speak French, but I'm assuming it's similar. Perdón. Don is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. None of us deserve to be forgiven. It's a gift that we have received, and now it's a privilege that we have to forgive one another. It's a gift. And those of us who have been forgiven, not only as far as salvation goes, but when we have sinned against our brother and we've been forgiven, oh, it's a great gift that we receive. And let's not forget that we can pass on that forgiveness. When we read in Luke 17, we are told that if your brother repent, forgive him. And too often we get stuck right there. And we'll say, well, until he realizes what he has done, until he or she comes and asks for forgiveness, I'm not going to go talk to them. I'm going to sit here and wait till they come to me. Because it says so in Luke 17:3-4. But that's not exactly what it teaches. One thing that my dad has said many a times, and when you quote my dad, you can get yourself a lot of trouble, but the Bible says a lot of things that it doesn't teach. And that's the problem when you get into taking verses out of its context. You can make the Bible say anything you want. And even as you're thinking about, you know, satisfying the desires of the flesh, you can pick even scripture to support your sinful nature. The Bible says it, but it doesn't teach it. When my brother sins against me, it is my responsibility to forgive unconditionally. Forgive. But what then do we have in Matthew 18? And we'll read it. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Matthew 15 and verse 18. I'm getting all confused here, aren't I? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Looking at my Bible, and it says Matthew 15. My notes say Matthew 18. I guess I need to move over a few pages. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two, one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So, as we read these verses, we come to find out this isn't the pattern to forgive. Because we need to forgive immediately. If we do not forgive, we will be miserable. If I am not in fellowship with my brother, and this is a tough one, I cannot be in fellowship with my God. It doesn't work. So if you've got a problem with your brother out there, you're being a hypocrite in here trying to pretend that everything is great between you and your God. Go to your brother and make things right. Until that fellowship is restored, your fellowship with God as well has been broken. So if I am saying that we need to forgive immediately, can't hold grudges, that will get you nowhere. Forgive and forget. So then what's the point of Matthew 18? What's the point of going to my brother if I've already forgiven him? We read here at the end of verse 15, thou hast gained thy brother. It's so that you will gain your brother. It's not about making you feel right. It's not about having him realize his wrong and say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. I really shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done what I did. And you know, so often you tell, we spent so many hours in different, you know, brethren's meetings or discussing problems. And when it's all said and done, you think, you know, why don't these people just grow up? Why don't they just get over it? There's nothing here. And yet they call in the missionaries, they call in the overseers, and we're here hours discussing foolishness. Get over it. It's no big deal. The point here, as we will see, is not so that I feel better. It is that my brother has sinned, and I'm going to go after him to gain my brother. We have here in verse 15. Moreover, it's a continuation of what has been said. We have in verses 12 and 13 the words astray. Verses 11 and 14, it's about the one that has gone astray. 99 sheep or 100 sheep, one has gone astray. What do? You go after the one. It's not so the shepherd can feel good that he went and he's concerned about the sheep that has gone astray. He has a shepherd's heart. He's going after that one who has gone astray to bring him back. His love is for the sheep. When my brother sins against me, my love is for him that has gone astray. So I go after him. Make him realize his wrong. And we'll see the pattern we have. Verse 15. If thy brother. Could we link that with verse 14? These little ones. What does verse 14 says? So, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Have you ever thought about that when your brother sins against thee, and he's gone astray, it's my responsibility to go after him? Well, that's why we have overseers. That's why we have shepherds. No, true, it is. But that's not only their responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. When we come to these verses and the importance that we have to look after one another, I read a small article. I was going to write it down and then I stuck it somewhere and who knows where it went. But it was in one of the magazines years ago, and I'm pretty sure there was over 32 times just in the New Testament that we are told to do something to or with one another. 32 times. You know, love one another, cherish one another, care for one another, and the list goes on. One another. You know, too often we forget in whose family we are in. Now, do you know anything about my family? I belong to the greatest family on earth. The family that which I belong to is the greatest family on earth. You're thinking, boy, I've heard of some of those splits. No, we're not talking about them. The family of God. We are a family. We love one another, don't we? Do we really? I don't even know the half of you. You don't know me. Some of you, we just met last night. Oh, I don't care what he does after he leaves here. I don't. I should. You're my brother. You're my sister. Yeah, there's when you go to our family, the Flett family, there's six of us. Oh, and there's some that are, you know, don't even want to talk about them. But don't you go talking bad about my brother. I can say everything I want about any one of those six kids. But you don't say anything bad about them because they're my brothers. They're my sisters. I'll defend them. Do we defend one another? Do we stick up for one another? We're hearing about how easy it is to talk bad about others, to criticize others. Oh, it's great to put others down. But no. That's not what we're here for. Verse 15, and I want you to look at this phrase right here. And too often, I've looked at it wrong and I've gotten all confused. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass, got to put the word sin in there because we've got to call it what it is. You know, too often we talk about foolishness. We talk about, you know, a white lie. We talk about this. We need to realize it and call it what God calls it. It's sin. It's sin. And we have here, if thy brother trespass against thee. Just think of those three words. Sin against thee. Too often, I get stuck on the V of that verse. And I think about what has been done to me. The nerve of that person to tell me that, to do this, to say that to me. Like I said earlier, get over it. The seriousness of this phrase is not thee. It's not what has been done to thee. The seriousness of the verse is sin. Sin. I don't, just using the quote you had there, Ryan, show me the awfulness of sin. My brother has sinned. Against me? True. Think of the parable of the lost son, the wayward son. Once he came to his repentance. He knew exactly what he had to do. He had the phrase in his mind. He went over and he went to his father, and what did he say? I have sinned against thee and against heaven. No. I have sinned against heaven and against thee. Here we have my brother, whom I love, and he sinned. It's not about me. It's not about going and making me feel right. It's about going after the one who has gone astray. So here we have my brother who has sinned against me. His sin is damaging himself. He's destroying himself. And yet I have the responsibility to go after him and try to make him realize what he has done. Make him realize, make him repent. To me, first of all, to God. I think of the words of Paul and Silas there in the jail there in Philippi. And we know the story. The earthquake, the prison doors are opened, the jailer is awakened out of his sleep, and he sees the doors open, and he figures, everybody's gone. I'm going to be killed in the morning because I'm responsible for all these criminals. So the best thing to do is pull my sword, take my own life. But what does he hear? He hears the cry from the pit. Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. When my brother has sinned, he is harming himself. He is harming the fellowship in which he belongs. And yet we are told, go after him. Go. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. We follow the order. They're in the middle of verse 15. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Has anyone not read these verses before? Is there anyone here who has never read these verses? You read it, Brian? You know? Yeah. Well, I've read it. I know it. But you know normally what I do? I usually go tell someone else first about his faults. That's what I do. I usually go find and get some support. You know, so-and-so did it. Oh, really? Well, you know what? He did a similar thing to me about a year ago. Well, I don't know. I don't know why the brethren don't do something with that guy. Yeah. No. Go to him. Alone. I wouldn't be surprised that if verse 15 was put into practice in this context, we would hardly ever get to verse 16 and 17. It would all be taken care of right there and then. Between my brother and me alone. You know, it doesn't... Well, just read, go and tell him his fault. This doesn't mean you go and say, you know what, I know that you have sinned against me. But you know what? It's alright. We're only humans. We all do the same thing. I'm no better than you, and you know, it's alright. It's alright, Joel. You know, I mean, I just want to let you know that it's okay. It's not okay. It's sin. It's not okay. Make him see his fault. If he never sees his fault, then he can never repent before God. He will never be restored to happy fellowship with the God. You have to make him realize his fault. Let him know exactly what was said, what was done. You know, we all need it. Could it be that I need someone to come and talk to me? To get me back on the straight and narrow? Oh, maybe there'll be rumors, you know, little chit-chats, you know, I don't know what he was trying to say up there. I don't know what his point was. I don't know, you know. Well, maybe you need to come and talk to me so that I can be brought back. And here we have, go and tell him his fault. we're not going to go and read the stories. We know it well. Of David's sin. And how he, you know, instead of being out at war, he slept in and he's walking around the rooftops and he sees something that he shouldn't be looking at the next thing you know. And you know, as it goes, and he sends, you know, he commits murder and all the rest to try to cover up his sin. And all he's doing is condemning himself. But yet his heart is in a condition where he doesn't even realize what he has done. There's no conviction of sin in his life at that time. He's in a moment, he's obviously away from the Lord. You read a few chapters earlier, when all he did was go into King Saul and go to tear off a piece of his garment, and he was, in his heart, he was convicted. And he said, how could I touch the Lord's anointed? And yet a few chapters later, we see him going down a road of immoral sin, committing murder. He's totally unaware of what he's doing to a certain degree. I'm not, you know, justifying his actions. But what happened? Well, a godly man by the name of Nathan came to him. And we know the little illustration that he gave, and that's not the important part here. But he made David realize, David, that man is you. You are that man. What does David say? He says in 2 Samuel 12 and 13, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. The same idea of going to your brother. Make him realize his fault. Make him realize that he has sinned against thee. Well, yeah, but first of all, his sin is against the Lord. Make him realize his fault. And then you say, well, I'm glad to finally see that you realize it. All is well between you and me. I've forgiven you ever since the moment that this happened. But I wanted to make sure that you realized the wrong in which you were in. Verse 15, the end of the verse. We're not going to get into the rest of the verses, because if we could just apply verse 15, like I said, so often we wouldn't have to go any further down. But the end of verse 15, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If he shall hear thee, that's as far as it goes. That's it. Forgive and forget. Oh, I can forgive him, but I'll never forget it. Well, it's okay. You know, we were talking earlier with a few, and my wife was bragging about my memory. Oh, pretty good memory. You know, I remember 10 years ago when I was here. I could tell you who were the speakers and most of them, what they spoke on, and comments that were made after. And I was talking to Dave Richards the other last night and said, I think the last time I saw you was in Arlington Conference in 97, and you read in Revelation an open door before me, and you gave a work on Russia. He goes, oh, okay, well, you say so. You know, but the idea of forgive and forget is that you're never going to bring it up to him again. We could read of the pattern that the Lord set down. Your brother sins against thee over and over and over again. You don't say, okay, three times you're out. I don't know if Washington State still has that law with criminals, but you know, they give them three strikes and you're out. And too often we treat our fellow brethren like it was a baseball game. And three strikes, you're out. No, we forgive. We forgive. We forgive. We may never forget it in the sense of, you know, it's in our memory, but we'll never bring it up to use it against him. We'll never say, you know what, you already did this once to me. What is wrong with you? No, you forgave. God never brings our sin before us again. We could read of where he has put our sin in the depths of the sea. It's behind his back. I will remember your iniquities no more. He has forgiven us. In like manner, forgive one another. May the Lord give help to each one of us, that if my brother has sinned against me, that I will have the courage and the shepherd's heart to go after him, go after her, so that I can gain my brother. May the Lord help us.